Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Zoo.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Zoo.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's hour two of radio broadcast, and here we are, Rop and Sue. Now, a couple of follow-ups. One, the Blazers spread now that Kahai, Ibaka, and Beverly are all out.
Mm-hmm.
The spread dropped to 4.5.
Someone here, actually two of us here, go ahead and we jumped all over that right as that line came out.
And you took the Clippers.
Oh, yeah. I got 25 riding on the Clips tonight. Let's go.
25 G's?
Yeah, look, I hope the...
nice.
You know, I wish all the best for the Blazers, but look, this is about dollars.
Also, a lot of people texting in regarding your new... European soccer allegiance?
Yeah, I've been a free agent for far too long, so I'm going to pick one here.
Yeah, I think you should go with Crystal Palace.
Yeah, Crystal Palace is pretty cool. First off, it's Crystal Palace, and they got a big damn eagle. Although Mike has dropped a Bundesliga team on me, and I was going to stay out of Germany because, well, screw Germany. But first off, the Bundesliga sounds cool. It's FC Cologne, which is a cool name, and they got a damn goat in their logo.
It's a full goat standing on top of the Cologne logo. But
that's pretty badass.
They're in second to last place.
I know, and they may get sent down, which is a little trouble.
That checks a lot of boxes for you, though.
It does. Like, I was hoping for something with, like, a cock on it. Like, you give me the bird on there.
Well, Tottenham Hotspur does have the bird, but they also
left
and came back. So,
you know, so screw them.
I'm with you, though. Bundesliga, that's one of the coolest sports terms.
Yeah.
That there is.
So you got a Bundesliga and I got a goat? Although, man, if they get sent down, then I'm no longer a fan of a big-time soccer
club. So that's the name of the league, Bundesliga?
Yeah, the Bundesliga.
What does that mean?
I don't actually know. I'm assuming it just means soccer league in German. But
because so generic.
Because there's also a Bundesliga in Austria. I think they call themselves like the Austrian Bundesliga.
Hmm. So. Well, I think you should go with Crystal Palace because it sounds like a strip club sponsor.
It's also in London, so big city team, but they're not very good.
Yeah,
oh, they're not.
Who's Valencia, by the way?
Valencia CF. They have a bat, right?
Yeah, they got a bat.
That's in Spain.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, they're like Europa League. That means nothing to you. They're like a second tier top team in Spain.
They got a cool bat. Look, if I'm picking a team, it's got to have some kick-ass gear to it. If I'm going to become a true soccer hooligan, I got to be able to be decked out. I've already got the credentials. I've been in a soccer riot and fared quite well in it.
Yeah, but you know what, though? If you get soccer gear,
yeah,
you know what happens, right? Like,
what?
You wear that out, and then people want to talk soccer with you.
That's the best.
Especially in the U.S.
That's the best part.
And you're going to not know a damn thing. Like, they are going to expose you so fast. They're going to be like, oh, Crystal Palace fan, huh?
Like, yeah, I love that center back that they have. I'm just going to use any soccer term I hear Mike say. I
mean, How long could you fake a conversation with a real European soccer fan?
About 7 seconds, I think.
I think five.
The key is to just let them do all the talking and then agree with whatever they say.
You can join Southampton. I'm a Southampton fan, Suke. You can join me in my Saints fandom.
The Saints.
Our manager has the name Ralph Hasenhüttl.
Yeah, he's very funny. Like
oh, that's sweet.
I don't like Ralph Hasenhüttl. Get to the chopper. I'm going to explore this a little bit. I got some people that are, you know, throwing some options
Boy,
out there.
A lot of people want you aboard their team.
Look,
their bandwagon.
This is the first time I've picked a team in many, many a moon. So I'm kind of excited about this. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to do some research. Order myself a jersey if I can find one in XXL Husky.
I would normally say watch the league for a while and have a team pick you, but I know you're not going to do that.
I'm not going to do
that. Come
on. That's
what
I did to become a Southampton fan. This is me just blindly picking someone and deciding to root for him.
Here is a text to our text program, which is 503-250-1080. That's how you reach it. The problem in America is we have a short attention span and no willpower. If we wanted to get sports teams to change like that, we stop buying tickets, stop buying merchandise, and stop watching it on TV.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that is not going to happen.
No, here. The best example of this is just once I want to see a city give a team the bird about, hey, we're not going to give you $3 billion to build a stadium. But whenever that does happen, the team just leaves and someone else builds them the $3 billion stadium. So that's the problem is that
you know,
every time someone does it, I was talking to my kids about this just the other day. About how absurd it is that in this country, and cities, by the way, that are going bankrupt, Detroit, and by the way, they weren't going bankrupt. They did declare bankruptcy. That we build billion-dollar arenas for billionaires for private businesses. It's the most insane thing in the world. And yet you had the Illich family in Detroit, who, by the way, is worth, I think it's like $4.5 billion. They own the Tigers. They own Little Caesars. They own the Red Wings. They own 90% of Detroit. They went to the city of Detroit, who just declared bankruptcy, and said, yeah, look, we play in an arena that's kind of old and we want a new one, but we don't want to pay for it. And if you don't, we may have to look elsewhere. That is the most iconic U.S. hockey team there is. And yet they still pulled the, yeah, we can look elsewhere if we have to. And the people of Detroit bought it. And they built them a sparkly new arena and gave them the land to do it.
Thought they were going to lose their team.
It's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's bad.
The Illich family wouldn't have the balls for 1 second to do that. And yet the people of Detroit who have no money were like, yeah, okay.
So here's another text that says, really good points about what's ultimately sociology of economic power in America. That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Because what we're talking about is this Super League thing that's not going to happen because basically backlash. So the rich can't just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
In the U.S., we don't know our own power here as fans, as sports fans.
Yep.
And he says, good points about what's ultimately sociology of economic power in America. People hope against logic here to become a rich crook, too, so they let them slide. It's right.
Yes. And it's sad and it's pathetic, and yet...
Do you remember when the Jailblazers were the Jailblazers?
I do remember the Jailblazers.
So they lost a lot of fans. They lost a lot of sponsors.
Yep.
A lot of this city did... you know, say, F you. Yeah. I'm not supporting that.
Yeah, he lost the arena.
But not enough.
For a time, though, I'll at least give him that. The people of Portland, they did have a backbone when it...
A lot of them did. Not all of them.
Not all of them, but a lot of them did.
There were a lot of fans in there when... I remember the Jailblazers, you know, unfortunately, some of those teams were really good.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of fans in there cheering those schmucks on.
Yep, but I remember a lot of Tuesday nights against Milwaukee where there was 8,000 people in that building.
Yeah, but not when they were the jail. Not with like Rashid and those guys. This was after,
when
they sucked.
Yeah, I would be interested to know, you know, if that threat ever did fully come out. And because the belief is that Paul Allen did save Portland by building the Moda Center. Otherwise, Portland may not, may not have a team, but you wonder, if Jody Allen sells the team or whatever, if in another handful of years, if that building gets deemed obsolete or whatever, I do wonder what the people of Portland would say if they came to him and was like, yeah, we want kind of that sweetheart of a deal and a couple hundred million dollars of public funds to build an arena or else. I wonder.
Oof.
I wonder in today's climate, what would happen with that?
I think bad things would happen.
Yeah. They'd have to find some other way to schnooker us.
You mean the owners or this?
Well, that's like, what, remember the Texas Rangers did this? The Texas Rangers wanted a new ballpark before the old one was even paid off, which, by the way, the taxpayers were paying for. And so they made this big announcement. They said, it's the first ever 50-50 partnership. We're going to put in $500 million, and the people of Arlington are going to put in $500 million. even though that $500 million over the 20 years of the bonds comes out to like $2 billion that the taxpayers are on the hook for. Meanwhile, with all the revenue streams and all the different taxes and stuff that are popping up associated with the new ballpark, which, by the way, guess who got every dime of that? The Texas Rangers. So they will have recouped their investment of the $500 million in just a couple years. Meanwhile, and then after that, it's all profit for them because they own everything. Meanwhile, the people of Texas are going to be soaked for the next 20 years, and they're still paying off the original building. So even when a team comes out and is like, no, it's a partnership, they're still sticking the red-hot poker up the taxpayers, you know what. And yet the people are supposedly happy to do it because they keep doing it.
Well, it's an interesting question, though, because let's say Jody Allen says, Paul always wanted the team, you know, he loved the Sonics. So yes. He was the guy who secretly said to me, and he told nobody else, that he wanted to get a team back in Seattle, mm-hmm. right? But he died before he could make it happen or help make it happen because he's already owner of the Blazers. So, because I know everybody always feared that for the longest time. Oh, Paul Allen's going to move the Blazers back up to Seattle. Right.
Yeah.
Well, he never had any intention of doing that.
No.
But what if Jody, now that Paul's gone, says, you know what? We need a new arena in Portland. And they go to the city, and the city's like, yeah, no, you can pay for it. Mm-hmm. You need a new arena? You can pay for it. She's like, well, you know, there's a new arena refurbed up there in Seattle, and Paul's wish was always to have an NBA team back in Seattle, and that's what I'll do.
I'm dead serious.
Boy, I tell you what.
You're telling me.
City wouldn't build. No, I don't think
so?
No, not in this climate.
Knowing that it's...
No, I don't think they would do it. I think that, well, I think that there could be some political will, some political power that could get it done.
Yeah.
But I think... generally speaking, I don't think the city would be for it. Put it that way.
Boy,
I
would normally say no, but in that circumstance, knowing that you have the possibility of your team moving 3 hours to your nemesis in Seattle, something tells me that they would find a way to.
But you got to pay for billion. She is worth billions.
Yep.
Billions of dollars, and there's no way this city
happens
no way.
All the time.
I know, but not here, man. And not in this climate, dude. They are so far gone. Ask the MLB to Portland guys about getting money out of this city.
That's true.
You know, on, man.
That's for a new team. This
I
is
know,
for the Blazers.
But, dude, and that's right. There's cachet there. That would be a tough one. Oh. But I think right now they'd be barking up the wrong damn tree.
Let's just hope that never happens then, because it happens in cities all over the country, and almost every time the team either bends the will of the city or the team packs up and leaves. Very rarely does the bluff get called.
All right, we move on to the NFL next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, I saw a ranking of the... draft classes, every one of them from 2000 on.
Not like quarterback, just in general draft classes.
No, sorry, quarterbacks.
Okay,
I was because like, you know, everybody's debating. This draft class, these quarterbacks. Oh, so great,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe not. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? Is it going to be? Is this a great draft class?
People are making it out to be, but history tells us that you know there's going to.
Well, they're not all going to be
exactly. There's going to be Pro five. Bowl. There's going to be five that go in the top. Probably what, 9 picks, 9 to 10. And history tells us that there's usually about a quarter of first round quarterbacks that end up really being franchise guys. So, you know, do some math. But most of the time your quarterbacks do come from the first round. Yes, you do have your Russell Wilsons and your Dax. But if you look around the league at their starting quarterbacks, Brady obviously being the true outlier. But the vast majority of quarterbacks in the NFL are, you know, lottery type picks. They're top 15. So, I mean, this is where you find your quarterbacks. But
five of them, I mean,
but they, you know, at least I would assume 2 to 3 are going to end up being washouts.
Oh, I would say 3 would be maybe, I don't know about washouts, but I bet you have 1 star and another good one.
Yeah.
I mean, the odds would say, right?
Yeah.
And then 3 guys who... Again, maybe wash out, but, you know, end up being backups or okay starters or whatever. But You know what the number one class is? That's an obvious answer.
How far are they going back?
2000. So there's 21 classes.
It's going to be the Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers.
Eli, yeah, Philip, Roethlisberger.
Yeah, three Hall of Famers.
J.P. Lossman. And don't forget about Matt Schaub.
Yeah, a couple Pro Bowls in there.
Round three.
Yeah.
Okay, number two.
Number two in the last 20 years.
This was pretty recent. Two guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, because this is the weird part. Like, when you look at these draft classes, it's not six guys. If you get two guys that end up being really good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Of these five in the first nine picks, two of them really good, that's considered a good draft class.
Is it Luck and Wentz?
No.
You said recently, right? Like in the last, five years?
Luck and Wentz weren't in the same draft. You're going to get the
Trubisky draft.
Yep.
Where they traded up and they passed on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes.
Boy, Mitch Trubisky is such a trivia question.
Yeah, because
Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson went in the same draft, but neither were the number one quarterback off the board. Who was it?
Yeah, the sad part was I didn't remember that draft for Mahomes and Watson. When I was thinking, I remembered it for Mitchell Trubisky. Whoops.
Deshaun Kaiser, Beathard went in that draft. Nathan Peterman.
Beathard. Remember when John Gruden loved him some Nathan Peterman? And Deshaun Kaiser, was he a second, third round guy? Remember for a while,
second round,
people thought that he was going to be the answer in Cleveland.
What a terrible pick that was.
Nope.
Okay, third is the Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson crew. That's pretty good.
I would think that, well, it's not because of the star power. But
Lamar and Josh?
Yeah, you've got Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and then Baker is a starting quarterback, so that's a good class. You had two busts. Rosen is out. Darnold is a bust, but some people still think. But that's five guys going in the first round, and three of them being
top 10
good quarterbacks.
Actually, four guys top 10, and then Lamar was number 32.
Three being good, two being right now legit stars. That's a good push.
Number four, Andrew Luck with Robert Griffin III and Ryan Tannehill. That also ended up having Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins. Nick Foles.
I'll tell you what, that's a good class.
In rounds three and four.
Yeah.
That's a great class, because in between there you had Whedon, Osweiler.
I forgot about Brandon Whedon. He was a first-round pick.
Yeah, number 22.
Again, Cleveland, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Brandon Whedon was Cleveland's pick. Whoops.
And then fifth was the class of Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell. Derek Anderson went in round six. Matt Cassel round seven.
I kind of like Jason Campbell coming out of Auburn. I thought he had a chance to be
kind of
a sleeper.
You loved him. I remember that.
I liked Jason Campbell and knew.
Worst class. Number 21 on the list.
Worst class in the last 20 years?
Dude, it's awful. Awful.
I'm just trying to think of who was like full-on bust.
I mean, awful. Think about the biggest.
I don't know how many there were, but I do remember there was a year where the first quarterback taken off the board was E.J. Emanuel. And I remember being like, how the hell is E.J. Emanuel, who sucked in college, by the way, how was he the first guy taken off the board?
That one is second to last. Okay. It's E.J. Emanuel, Geno Smith, Mike Glennon, Matt Barkley.
There's one worse than that?
Yeah.
When E.J. Emanuel is the best quarterback, what is worse than that?
Well, again, you could have better quarterbacks go after E.J. Manuel.
That's true.
In that instance, you did not.
You did not.
Although Mike Glennon, you could argue, was
better. That's the sad part.
Is it Suk's favorite player?
Who?
Jake Locker.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Forgot about the Locker draft. I just realized
I don't know who else was in that draft.
I yelled from the mountaintops at that E.J. Manuel pick, and it turned out that was the right pick because there wasn't a better quarterback.
No, the worst one is he was a famous, it was a big time, high profile number one draft pick overall, number one overall. He was a bust, and so was everyone else on that.
Is that the David Carr draft, maybe?
No, that one was with Joey Harrington.
That was with Joey Harrington, and I don't
that
know.
That one's third to last.
Was there a good quarterback that came out of that?
The best quarterback from that class was David Garrard. You had Josh McCown, Patrick Ramsey, Garrard, Joey Harrington, David Carr.
That's not good.
Brandon Doman.
Hey, that's my quarterback.
Exactly.
Hey, I forgot he got drafted. Way to go, BD.
No, it's 2007, and here were the quarterbacks selected. Jamarcus Russell.
Ah, Marcus Russell.
Brady Quinn. Those were your first rounders. In the second round, you had Kevin Cobb, John Beck, and Drew Stanton.
Hey, John Beck is now a quarterback guru to the stars. He's training every one of these, the top five quarterbacks in this draft. They're all working with that guy.
Didn't Drew Stanton stay in the league for like 10 years as a backup?
Probably.
Yeah, he did. Local guy, right? Maybe?
Drew Stanton? No, he played at Michigan State.
No, I think he's from here.
Is he?
I think so.
Well, he went to Michigan State, so I don't... I'll have to look it up.
I thought he was.
He's not Scranton Strong or anything?
Trent Edwards.
Hey, Stanford quarterback.
Isaiah Stanback.
Rop is right.
Yeah, where's he from?
He is from Michigan, but they moved to Lake Oswego.
Yeah.
And he played at Lake Oswego High School.
Boy, local kid.
That's a random...
Okay. He played for 2 years at Lake Oswego and then moved back to Michigan.
That's a random pull on your part.
Well, I know my sports, Jason.
Drew Stanton.
Isaiah Stanback, Jeff Rowe, Troy Smith, Jordan Palmer, Tyler Thigpen. Do you know what the best quarterback of that whole crew is when undrafted? Unbelievable.
I have no idea.
Matt Moore.
Oh.
Our boy.
Matt Moore.
He's better than all of those guys.
Well, Kevin Cobb had a little bit of an okay.
I'd take Matt Moore over Kevin Cobb.
I would probably take Matt Moore too, but still, it was all right.
Damn,
Jamarcus,
that's a bad
Russell and Brady Quinn.
Can you imagine that draft class of quarterback? I mean, that is so bad. Oh my God.
It just goes to show you, man, that this idea that it's like, oh, there's five franchise quarterback. No, there's one or two.
Yep.
If that, and you better be lucky picking the one or two.
Well, if that, I highlight that. If that,
because
the one is thought to be Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
After that, is there another one in there? I don't know, man.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I am not of the mindset that Trevor Lawrence is this can't miss,
Well, good. That opens the door for one of the other guys to actually be really good.
Yes.
Because the odds of two of them being really good aren't.
Very rarely do you get a class where you have three guys that live up to the hype, and you're going to get five that are drafted really high. So you better hope that it's 2004 when you had Eli, Phillip, and Ben, because there's really not another one where all three of those guys turned out to be truly great, although you can make the argument that with Allen, Lamar, and Mayfield, you would take that, although Baker Mayfield is far from a star, and Josh Allen looked like dog mess for a couple years before he turned it on.
All right, up next on In the News, the verdict is in.
Real quick.
Yes.
This is a great, you got me thinking about the Josh Allen thing, who was a mess, and this is why I said most successful quarterback could be the one that goes to San Francisco. If Josh Allen, who right now is an MVP-type player in the NFL, had Josh Allen been in the Jets situation with Sam Darnold, Josh Allen would be a absolute dumpster fire, and he would be out of the league in 2 years. But because he ended up in Buffalo with a good coach and a good team around him and was allowed to go through two horrific years of growing pains, he came out on the other side a different quarterback. That right there is a great example of someone that just ended up in the right place and it ended up saving his career.
All right, here's Mike with sports.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
We back, bitches. Oh, yeah.
You're so street.
I know. I've been told that by lots of people.
Such street cred.
It is April 20, 2021. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Thank you. Thank you for being here today. It is a Doge Day, like Dogecoin Day.
Oh, okay.
Doge Day.
When that started like as a joke and now it's like skyrocketing?
Well, yeah. Skyrocketing and still pretty cheap compared to other cryptos, but it skyrocketed from where it started for sure. But Doge is like an internet created meme.
Yeah,
from many, right? Many moons ago.
Yeah, it was just a joke. Now here I...
Well, the actual name Doge, yes, is just a really old meme thing. Dogecoin was created, a year or two ago as a joke?
If you had put $1,000 into Dogecoin at the start of this year, you would have over $68,000 right now.
How much do you have to put in?
$1,000.
Yikes.
It's done well.
Yeah, I need to look into some cryptocurrency.
Do you though?
No, not really. I'm gonna keep sticking into...
Do you, fella?
I'm gonna stick into coal and Commodore 64 stock. I think this This whole cryptocurrency and clean energy thing, it's all a fad. It'll come back.
Okay, it is also National Cheddar Fries Day. Do you like cheddar fries?
Well, it's just cheese fries, right?
I guess, yeah.
I'm assuming.
Well, I mean, specifically cheddar cheese fries.
The cheese fries needs to be the whatever bastard melted cheese, like a nacho cheese. Like, that's the key to a good, solid cheese fry. Although, even then, like, you got to be careful because if you put too much on there, then, it, like, the bottom gets all soggy and then, like, half the fries are ruined.
I like the waffle fry, garlic cheese fry, you know?
Yeah.
Waffle fries hold up best to having melted cheese on them.
Yeah. I don't think it's around anymore, but what was the place over on 12th? Henry's. Isn't that gone now?
Oh, yeah. Is Henry's gone?
It's gone.
They had a gorgonzola fry.
Waffle fries, yeah.
That was just, it was like crack. Yeah.
What did they put on that? What kind of cheese?
It was,
gorgonzola.
Oh, gorgonzola. Okay.
It was like melted gorgonzola and gorgonzola crumbles.
Yeah, they had
like
this
that.
Gorgonzola cheese fry. What was on that? I believe it was cheddar. I think that's the secret to their gorgonzola fries.
No, it wasn't cheddar. It was white.
It was the white.
That means it was white cheddar.
The verdict is in, guys. The verdict is in.
Waffle fries?
Derek Chauvin, the Minnesota cop who knelt on the neck of George Floyd, is guilty.
On all counts, he was
facing three counts. The first count was second-degree unintentional murder, of which he faces up to 40 years in prison. The second count was third-degree murder, which he faces up to 25 years in prison. And then the third count was second-degree manslaughter, and he was guilty of that as well.
And a lot of people...
up to 10 years in prison.
He going away for the rest of his life. A lot of people thought that he was going to be found guilty on the manslaughter charge and maybe not on the two others. So it was a resounding victory when all three came back guilty. And you could see it in his eyes. I was listening to some people that were talking about it, and he had to have known that he was cooked in this thing.
Well, did you watch any of the trial?
I did watch. I tried to watch a bunch, and I tried to watch some of the closing arguments, but the defense's closing argument went over 2.5 hours. Like, yeah. I didn't.
It was long.
So I did check in from time to time, but unlike Law & Order, real trials are just hard to watch because they're so monotonous and lengthy.
Yeah.
Like, the judge was reading... When they were getting ready to do closing arguments, the judge was giving instructions on each count, and I swear to God, I listened for 20 minutes and was more confused than when the whole thing started.
I didn't watch all of it, but I did see the closing arguments of the prosecution, and I thought they were just mega compelling. Like, in other words, I don't know who was. I mean, how many people were really on, like, Derek Chauvin's
side? Very few people.
You know, it's like, come on. It was pretty obvious.
Yes.
It was just a matter of what they were going to hit him with.
And that was someone that's, and I was listening to some just commentary today, and someone was like, you know, like, I understand that it's being portrayed as a divided nation, and believe me, our nation is very divided, but this one, while I'm certainly there was a division and there were some people, but for the most part, everyone kind of thought this. I had a buddy of mine who's really, really pro law enforcement. He sent me a text message and he goes, I took me 2 seconds to say that this guy's guilty. And he goes, that's something coming from me because he is very, very much pro police. Most of the cops I know, in fact, all the cops that I know that I've talked to were like, oh, yeah. Like,
still had to prove it, though.
Still had to
and
prove
juries
it.
Are funky yeah. and you never know. And they did a good job.
Yeah.
So he'll be sentenced.
The one part of the trial that I saw that was uber compelling, and I was kind of interested in, I thought that if there was going to be some wiggle room here, is that he had a bunch of narcotics in his system, George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, boy, they are going to really hammer home the idea that it wasn't him kneeling on him, that it was an overdose. And I forget the doctor's name, but they had the doctor in there, and he just flat out said, no. He goes, yeah, he may have had chemicals in the system. Yeah. None of that.
They had five doctors.
None of that led to this. And then they had the defense had a medical expert on there. And when the prosecution did the cross-examination, they said they got the defense's guy to admit that, yes, he should have received medical attention. And right then I was like, well,
yeah.
Any chance you had of the defense just left
They
the
built a very, very yes. good, strong yes. case. So he's going to prison. Now, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler has declared a state of emergency here in our city.
Yeah.
And that was to prepare for the unrest that could unfold upon the verdict.
Antifa said they're going to riot either way, which I find odd.
Are they?
That's what they've said.
What are they rioting?
I don't know.
What are they protesting?
They, I have confirmation people in authority that they have told the powers that be that they will riot with either verdict. So they are, that blows my mind, but what? They are.
What is all the unrest about? Like this keeps happening. Like a Boys and Girls Club got broken up.
Well, you know
or
what?
Or like the windows shattered. Like
20 grand worth of damage.
What are they doing?
That Boys and Girls Club has been riding a little too high. How dare they try to help out boys and girls? Screw them.
I don't get it.
They like destruction.
Yeah, it's.
They like chaos.
Is it all the same people, too? Like, how many people is this?
It's not. It's not that many.
Right.
We just have to. A city have to grow some balls and say enough is enough.
Well, they have made some arrests, but, like, why? I don't. Yeah, just arrest them all.
Yeah.
Put a stop to this crap. Nobody. Listen, if you're one of these people that's out there doing this, do you even care that no one knows what your message is?
No.
Or are you just a vandal?
I think
you're just a criminal.
Yeah. Look, it's at this point, it's absolutely ridiculous. It just is. And at some point, I'm all for justice. I'm all for civil disobedience and getting your point across.
But no one knows what they're protesting. No.
And at this point, we have to say enough's enough and take the city back. And I'm talking about this. I'm talking about the homeless thing. At some point, someone has to have some guts as a leader and draw a line and say that this is not going to be the fate of our city. And unfortunately, we just have no backbone, none whatsoever.
And this is a good point, too. It's too bad that a guilty verdict in such an obvious murder is considered a historic moment.
Yes.
That is right.
Yes.
And this is not, there's no policy being made here. So it's just a verdict. And he should have been guilty.
Yes.
But at the same time, we've seen so many instances where this guy gets off or cops get off. So
it was counted as a.
We didn't take anything for granted here.
No, you did not. I know that. I mean, I think everyone was watching, you know, when that verdict came down. And you're kind of watching with one eye open, just like, oh, boy. Well, and you see, I mean, outside the courthouse, they had tanks and there were helicopters overhead. And I mean, believe me, everyone knew what was on the line there.
Okay, leave it to Oregon to go perma-mask. That story next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hot 5 coming up. This be in the news. Oregon is going perma-mask, or so it seems. Leave it to Oregon. A mask mandate. This is a proposal from OSHA.
Yeah. Yeah, to extend the mask mandate indefinitely.
Permie, bro.
Yeah, I...
As states around the country lift COVID-19 restrictions, Oregon is poised to go the opposite direction. And many residents are fuming about it. A top health official is considering indefinitely extending rules requiring masks and social distancing in all businesses in the state.
It's just, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd.
So what they're doing here is... They basically just want to keep it in place until they're no longer until they deem the pandy over.
Look, I'm we've taken it seriously. We should take it seriously. And I'm not saying we're completely out of the clear, but some of the overreaches here, it's ridiculous, especially with some of the new information. And we've seen what's happening in other communities that are doing this. There is a best practice here, and this isn't it. This is ridiculous.
Here's Jordan, who texts us, and he makes a good point. He says, a huge part of the anti-maskers is that it was a mandate. No one said, please work with us and wear your mask. It was either mandatory mask or it's, don't wear it. It's not real. Be a rebel. This is just going to further the problem. Adults are nothing more than strong children at this point.
Yes.
That's from Jordan. He's right about that.
Real valid point.
Well, anyway, the 911 caller who called in the shooting of the... homeless man in Lentz Park?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
When that happened?
Just the other day.
Mr. Delgado died of his wounds brought on by the Portland police. Well, brought on by himself, you could say.
Yeah.
He was doing quick draws.
Yeah.
So according to the 911 caller.
Yeah, and it turned out that it was a fake gun, but again, kind of hard to tell. And they have, you can kind of go through the officer who ended up shooting him. You know, they have some of his recorded conversations with the dispatch, and he said he's about 90 yards away. Obviously, it's hard to tell whether or not the gun is real. Although this one did have the orange tip on it. A lot of times you see that where the orange tip is removed or people paint it black because those guns do look realistic. But, you know, from a distance.
90 yards?
90 yards.
That's a good shot. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's a good shot. Well, the guy is a former Army Ranger.
Right. And like, how many cops could hit from 90 yards?
90 yards, that's with his rifle.
That guy was like a sharpshooter in Afghanistan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's a little different than your average cop.
So him,
not to say that the average cop couldn't be a good shot.
Him and his partner were hiding behind a tree because obviously,
right?
You don't when a guy is quick drawing and clearly has they knew that this was a mental sort of thing. You know, I don't know. Some of these situations, no one wants to end up dead, but in some of these situations, I don't want to be the one having to be put in that circumstance where you're rolling up on someone and trying to determine.
You got to make these decisions.
Whether or not that gun is real or fake.
It's very hard. I think the one thing that you could say, though, is, you know, it feels like every situation goes to code red, and it doesn't have to.
Yes, I would agree.
You know,
with that.
It's
de-escalation.
Like de-escalation. It's like, well, if somebody makes this move or that move. Like, I heard somebody say, you know, the guy who got killed in Minnesota, the latest one, what was his name? Dante Wright?
Yes.
I heard somebody make this point, and I was like, you know, I don't, and cops may laugh at this, but they said, why not let the guy go? Like, the guy was trying to get away. Like, what is he going to do? You know who he is.
Yeah.
He's not going to go on a killing spree. He's trying to get away from you because he's a warrant out for his arrest.
Nonviolent offender.
Yeah, nonviolent guy. Like, what? Why is that escalating to the point of somebody having to, right? Like,
well, I think
it's
that's,
that.
And but I guess the counter argument to that is she, believe it or not, she wasn't trying to shoot him.
I know.
That was
a mistake.
That was a mistake.
It was a horrible. It's this mentality that it always, like, the second somebody makes a false move or is scared and does something that they shouldn't, it's all of a sudden code red, guns drawn. You know, we have to stop this at all costs. When
I've heard
many of the time, you know, much of the time, not all. And that's the hard part. The hard part of this is, well, one out of however many times it is a guy who is going to pull a gun and shoot you.
Yeah.
Right. And that's how you don't know. But it's just that it's the mentality that, oh, my God, I'm seeing red instantly when they make a wrong mover, just like some traffic stop. It's like
I was having a conversation with an officer who does training, and he was making the point that a lot of times he thinks that this is a fear-based thing where the officer is scared,
right?
And the officer has not been properly trained, and a lot of times it's a young officer, and so when you're put in one of these situations, and I know this lady had been a cop for a long time, like 20 something years, but clearly
she definitely panicked.
Clearly she panicked. And his point was, you need more training. You need more officers. You need more backup. You need them to be better trained, not less trained, to be able to handle these sorts of situations, that you don't have people that are wound up in these sort of situations that are trained in de-escalation thing. So he's all for police reform. His point was police reform just needs to be done smartly. Just this idea of getting rid of it doesn't work.
Totally.
Or less training or less money, if anything. More needs to be put into that.
100%.
Where people are better trained.
100%.
Where you're not rolling up on that and your first instinct isn't, oh my God,
exactly,
this is going to red.
Yeah. That dude, whoever that is, agree with that guy 100%.
And the point is, like, in his thing, it was just if we could get some sides to sit down and talk to one another,
right,
where we get some people that have been in this and we get some people that want reform, and maybe we could actually get some good dialogue going instead of all cops are great or no, all cops are evil and get rid of all the money or give us all the money, that there has to be some sort of middle ground here where we can agree that reform is a positive thing when done in a right way.
Yeah. And yes, the Delgado guy, unfortunately, he was just I mean, he was totally harmless.
Yeah.
He, like I said, the gun was fake. He was playing like a kid. Like a kid. Yeah. It's just.
Yep. It's a horrible situation.
There's your in the news. April 20, 420. Did you know that?
I did.
Did you smoke weed today? Or eat weed?
I didn't.
Or ingest weed?
More of a nighttime guy.
For sleepies?
Yeah.
Sleepies.
Sleepy
Does sleepies. It help you sleep?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Helps take the and the aches and pains. The body isn't what it used to be.
Nice. All right. Coming up next, I think we're ready for the hot 5 at 5. The Mariners and the Dodgers wrapped up their 2-game series this afternoon, and it was a doozy. The Steelers are in the news, and wait till you see who's not playing tonight when the Blazers and the Clippers meet.
You.
I will not be playing.
I do not believe that you are playing.
Me and Kawhi Leonard have something in common. Next on The Fan.